You'd like to turn in your Bibles this morning to John chapter 17. In just a moment, we will be looking at some verses there to introduce our lesson, John 17. As you're turning there, we're glad that you're here, and it's good to be able to come together to worship God. Among our visitors this morning are Steve and Pam Walker. If you have not had a chance to meet them, please do that. Steve is doing a good work down at the Kingston Springs congregation on the west side of Nashville, and I appreciate their work in the Lord, and it's good to have them visiting this morning. I got to thinking when I saw Steve come in this morning that if you would like, I gave you an update or a review of my trip to Ghana, but if you'd like the truth on the matter, talk with Steve after services. He'll give you the official version if you'd like that. But I enjoyed being with him there, and we believe we accomplished good in the Lord's work there, and he was an encouragement to me, and I appreciate him going with me on this trip, on that trip that we had together. If you're a song leader, you always have a favorite song that you like to lead. And you can probably name some favorite songs among our song leaders here at Warfield Boulevard. So when I think of Clarence Matthews, I think of Salvation Has Been Brought Down. It's one of his favorites. And then when Paulo Yin gets up, it's a very limited number, very narrow number, as in one, but he does a great job with it. And what is it? What's it called? Day by Day. That's his favorite song. It's a good one. And when I think of Daniel Mayberry, I think of Higher Ground. Daniel likes to lead Higher Ground. I actually asked Daniel if he would lead that song this morning because that has become the basis for our lesson this morning. That's what we're going to talk about. It's a great sentiment. And we're going to look this morning at some biblical principles that come from this great sentiment. I'm glad that you're here, and I hope that our study from God's Word will encourage us along these lines. Before we look at this lesson, I wanted to point out some things in John chapter 17. We're going to be talking this morning about living on higher ground. And there are some things that we're going to say this morning that appear to be something that, but it's really not that. When we talk about, as we sang in the song, living above the world, I want to live above the world. That appears like we think that we're better than somebody else. And so I got to thinking about that. What does it mean to live and walk on higher ground? I want to start this morning by talking about what we're not talking about, so that somebody doesn't get the wrong impression. First of all, living on higher ground is not what I'm going to call escapism. We're not saying this morning that we're trying to escape from everything in the world. Jesus in John chapter 17, in praying to his Father about his disciples, says that they are in the world. And he says, I am praying, look at verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them from the world. What we're talking about this morning is not escapism. We're not talking about, let's see if we can go live in a monastery somewhere and shut ourselves off from the rest of the world. That's not what this is. We want to be in the world in order to help bring them to Christ, in order to be the salt and the light that we need to be, in order to take the gospel to them. So we're not suggesting this morning escaping and getting away from all things that are in the world. Also in verse 18, as you sent me into the world, even so sent I them into the world. We're going to go to school and go to work, and we're going to live among people in the world, and Christ wants us to be there in order to help them come to Him. So when we talk about living on higher ground this morning, we're not talking about escapism. Neither are we talking about egotism. Now here's the point that I wanted to make sure that we're very clear. When somebody says, well, I want to live above the world, it kind of makes it sound like we think we're better than everybody else. So I want to talk about that. We're not talking about egotism either. Our goal in life, and we're going to get to Paul's statement later in the lesson in Philippians 3, this higher calling, this upward heavenly calling, it's not because we think we're better, it's because we want to serve God and we love God and we want to be right with God. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are thine. Look at that. They are thine. It's because we belong to God that we want to live this way. It's not because we think we're better than somebody else. It's not about pride. It's not about arrogance. It's not about where we think that we're better than somebody else. We belong to God and we want to follow His word. Holy Father, verse 11, keep them in thy name which thou hast given me. It's a part of being a Christian. It's a part of honoring God's name, His character, and who He is. Verse 13. That they may have my joy made full in themselves. It's a part of being a Christian and have the joy of being a Christian. It's not because we think that we're better when we talk about, I want to walk on higher ground. And we find the same thing in other verses. In verses 21 through 24, there's an emphasis on our relationship with the Father. That's why we're wanting to live this way. And then the last point in verse 26, that the love wherewith thou lovest me may be in them. It's a part of having God's love in us that we want to live this way. So put out of our mind all ideas of let's see if we can escape. And number two, we think that we're better. And then finally, higher ground is not existentialism. You'll hear this word existential a lot today. There are a lot of things about this word that I won't take time this morning to define, but one of the core principles of existentialism is that truth comes from within you. Truth is subjective. It's what's inside of you. And the way you go through life is how you feel and what you think. And that's how you live your life. Notice in John chapter 17 that Jesus says, my disciples are going to go out into the world. And look at how many times, verse 6, 8, 14, 17, 19, look at how many times that life is going to be based on the word, the objective truth of God. We're very familiar with verse 17, sanctify them in truth, thy word is truth. It's going to be based upon truth. And so, as we go through life, it's not about what we think and feel. I just feel like I'm going to live a higher life. No, it's not about that. It's about following the objective truth of God's word that is revealed in Scripture. So having given that caveat, or that initial point, that higher ground is not these things, let's look at what it is. This morning I want us to consider five biblical principles of this matter. And it's really, hopefully, an uplifting thing. To encourage us this morning to become a Christian and to continue living faithfully as a Christian because we are traveling higher ground. The world today is all about bringing you down. God is all about bringing us up. And I hope that we can remind ourselves of that this morning. We're going to look at five things. First of all, we're going to see that higher ground is the place where you defeat your enemies. Number two, higher ground is the place where you get a better view in life. Number three, higher ground is the place where you can live above the muck and mire of the world. Number four, higher ground is where you can be the better person. And last of all, higher ground is where we can set our aims and our goals. Let's begin with Psalm 61 this morning. Turn with me to Psalm 61, verses 1 through 4. Higher ground is the place where we, on a daily basis, can better defeat our spiritual enemy, the devil. You know, when you talk with various ones about military campaigns and military strategy, they will often tell you that if you are fighting an enemy, if you can, try to take the higher ground. And they will tell you that. And there have been a number of battles that have been won because one side got to the higher ground quicker. Sometimes we find that battles, biblical battles, are fought out on a plain, out on a flat level surface. But oftentimes you want to get to the higher ground if you can before your enemy does, because it's easier to shoot down on somebody than to shoot up on somebody. One of the well-known battles around here is, you're very familiar with, the Battle of Chattanooga. That was fought, the Confederate Army was up on top of the mountain there, Lookout Mountain. And they held that position for a very long time. The Union forces were down low and they slowly had to fight their way upward, but the Confederate forces had taken the top of that Lookout Mountain. You want to get on the top. You don't want to be on the bottom. Number one, higher ground, brethren. When we follow God's Word, and we're putting into play biblical principles, that's where we can better defeat the devil. Look at Psalm 61 with me this morning. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. For the end of the earth will I call unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Look at this. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a refuge for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will dwell in thy tabernacle forever. I will take refuge in the covert of thy wings. We have a song in our songbook of this same sort. A rock that is higher than I. What is that rock? It's a rock that is higher, and it's a fortress, and it's a place where I can be above the fray and be looking down on my enemy and have a better place to be protected in that stronghold. A lot of times when forts are built, they're not built in a low spot. Forts are built on a higher spot right here in town. Fort Defiance, the Confederates had a fort here, right here in town. It was built on a high outcropping there just north of downtown. You don't build a fort in a low area. You naturally get the high ground. Brethren, higher ground is the place on a daily basis where we can better defeat the devil. So when we're putting into practice God's Word and we have to face temptations and sins, when we know God's Word, that is going to better help us defeat the devil. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2, we are not ignorant of his devices. God's Word gives us higher ground. We know how he's going to act. We know that he's going to use the same old thing, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. He did it with Adam and Eve. He did it with, tried it with Jesus. 1 John 2:15-17, he tries it with us. The same old thing. We know what the devil is going to do. We're not ignorant of his devices. And God's Word gives us prayer and Bible study and other brethren. And we can get higher ground over our enemy. God's Word helps us. God gives us a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13. And like Jesus referred to Scripture every time to ward off those temptations in Matthew chapter 4, we can better defeat the devil on higher ground. It's when people don't have that help from God's Word, that knowledge from God's Word, the wisdom and the knowledge from God's Word, and the advance notice on how the devil works, they get sucked in by the devil. Number one, higher ground is the place where we can better defeat our enemies. We can see him coming. That's why you build a fort on the high ground. You can see your enemy coming. Now, after a while, that didn't work well for the Confederates. They ended up losing that battle. But they knew where those Union forces were coming from, and they rained down fire and brimstone with those cannons all day long. They're very effective. Brethren, we want to take higher ground so that we can better defeat the devil. And so Paul says, we're very familiar with Ephesians 6, 10 and following, to put on the whole armor of God so that we can defend against the wiles of the devil. We're given armor, all of them relating ultimately to the Word of God. We're given armor, we're given prayer, we're given fellow soldiers to fight with, and we can defeat the enemy. John says that. John says that. In 1 John 2, he says, young men, you have overcome the evil one. How do we do that? On higher ground. And so, we as parents and our children and concerned members of the church, we're going to walk on this higher ground so that we don't see the spiritual casualties that we often see in the world. Christians quitting and going back to the world because they're not on the higher ground. But we see that, and we know that, and we're going to remain. And as parents, we're going to make sure our children live in a very ungodly world, and they need all the help they can get. As parents, let's make sure our children are faithful Christians walking on that higher ground so they're not taken in by the same old temptations and sins of the devil. Lead me to a rock that is higher than I. We need something that is higher than I. That's the whole point. Because the I is not getting it done. The I is the one that's having the problem in the world. I need something higher. Something more noble. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. What is that? Obedience to God's word and living the faithful Christian life. Number two, higher ground is the place where I can get a better view on life. I think Curtis and Will just got back a few days ago from being over at Mount LeConte. Is that right? Some of you have been to the Smoky Mountains. Some of you have been to Clingman's Dome, some 6,600 feet and some change. It's a pretty high point, isn't it? In the early to mid-90s, there were some times where myself and two or three other men in the church, we did hiking each year out in West Texas. Big Bend National Park. It's called the Davis Mountains. The Davis Mountains has about another 1,600 feet on top of Clingman's Dome. So you're getting up into the 8,000 range. It's impressive. Clingman's Dome is impressive. Then add on another 1,600 feet. It's even more impressive. And I remember doing some of that backpacking and all of that. And you're worn out and you finally get to the summit. And you kind of maneuver a little bit to look through the pine trees, and man, you can see forever. It is amazing. I remember one night we did that, and we were pitching tent and so forth, getting dark, and we see some lights down there. I wasn't really thinking about it. I'm like, huh, that's interesting. I wonder what that is. It wasn't Texas. It was a bunch of towns in Mexico. We were looking as far into Mexico as you can look into Texas. Brethren, higher ground is where you get a better view of life. What's happening today is people are not elevated by God's word. They're down there just trying to make it work. And they're hearing all of these voices that come from different places in the world, and they're trying to navigate, and they wonder why they hit this problem and they hit that problem. When we live by God's word, we live above the world. where you can look down and see what's going on. You can see right and wrong and good and evil and wise and foolish. You can see that. It's where we get the proper view on how to live. Look at Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 8. The devil takes him to a high mountain, it says, so that he can see all the kingdoms of the world. When you get up tall there, you can see a lot. But what did Jesus do? Jesus, following Scripture, kept in mind, I must serve God only. I'm not going to bow down to you, devil. I serve God only. What gave him that view? Scripture. When we live and walk by God's Word each day, we're not down here low where you can only see a short distance in front of you. And you're trying to make these young people trying to make decisions in life. Well, do I tell the truth or not? Am I honest or deceitful? Do I tell the truth or a lie? Am I sexually pure or sexually impure? And I'm just trying to make it through life. You know how you make it through life? You get up above all of that. And God's Word says this is how to walk through all of that. How to make the right decisions and the right choices. And here's something coming up. I'm going to give you a view of it ahead of time. Here's something coming up. Here's how to avoid it. Here's how to go around it. Here's how to work with it. That's what God's Word does. But we've got to get up above all of that. I like some passages in the book of Revelation when John was getting visions. Look at Revelation 4:1. I love it. John is invited, come up here, and I will show you something. He gets this beautiful throne scene of God, that God is sitting on a throne. Wow, come up here and I want to show you something. That's where you get the better view. The same thing in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 1. Come up here and I will show you the harlot. Come up here and I will show you what Rome is really all about. And when you read chapter 17 and 18, Rome is not this cool place to live. It's a haven of sin and degradation. But John got that view because he got God's view. Today, the worldly view is anything goes and everybody's fine and however you want to live. And young people are trudging through life and they're just getting bombarded with these things that are right around them. Help, as parents, help them to get above all of that and see what is really going on. I like Revelation 21:10. John was taken to a high mountain to see the New Jerusalem. Why? Why take him up there? Because that's where you get a view, you see. And we can learn from that, brethren, even today. Making sure that our young people have the Word of God instilled in them is not just some traditional thing that you're supposed to do. It's giving them a view on life. Paul said in 1 Timothy 4, bodily exercise profits a little. It's good to take care of your body. But godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. Godliness shows us how to live now, and it leads us all the way to heaven. We've got to get above the world. That's our problem. Many people are not. And I love that song. We want to live above the world. My prayer, my aim is higher ground. Make sure that we're walking that way, and let's help our young people, our children and our grandchildren, to walk that same way. Number three, higher ground is where I can live above sin and degradation. Have you ever been, it could be a road, it could be a field, it could be a trail, a number of things, where you've got a couple of choices, and especially after a heavy rain. I've done this before, maybe you've done this before on trails, you can do it out there at Dunbar Cave Trails. If you take the lower part, you're going to be walking through mud. But if you come up on a choice where you can go up a little bit higher, that's going to be dry ground. That's going to be the part that's not the muck and the mire. You'll find that sometimes with roads. My grandfather farmed up in Ohio, and he had large fields, and he had a field that went from a higher part down to a lower part, down toward a creek. And this lower part always got soggy. It was so soggy that they would go in there and put tiles and try to drain the water out. But he had a service road that was built that went through that field, and it was mounded up. The service road was way up high. That marshy, soggy field was down here. He knew how to build a road. Got to get it up higher. Higher ground is where you stay away from the muck and the mire of the sin that is in the world. Today the devil says, oh, all of this is fun and this is good for you and you'll have a good time. No, it's sin. And it's wrong. And it will cause us to be eternally lost. Don't be trudging down in that muck and mire of sin and degradation. It's so bad that it caused Jesus to have to die on the cross for it. It's bad. Don't live there. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. God comes along with the gospel and raises us up out of that muck and that mire to live in a different place. Don't live like the world. And raised us up. This is having been baptized into Christ. And raised us up with Him. Look at this. And made us to sit with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Get out of that. The prodigal son was sitting with the pigs and the muck and the manure and the mire of that. And he had to get out of that. And Christ wants to raise us up to heavenly places. Why? Because the alternative, chapter 2, verses 1 and following, is the muck and the mire of sin. Don't be taken in by that. Fornication and adultery and sexual sin. Oh, that's cool. That's good. No, it's not. It's muck and mire. And alcohol and bad words. And lying. And whatever you want to come up with. It's mud. It's muck. It's mire. Stay out of that. High ground elevates us and gets us out of that. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2 with regard to the grace of God. Why did God dip down? And that's another favorite song of Clarence Matthews. His grace reaches me. I love that song. Why did God reach down with grace? What's He trying to do? For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to the intent that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Get out of that muck and mire and get up out of that. As parents, let's help our young people not to trudge down in that muck and mire. They view it on TikTok. It's cool. It's portrayed in Instagram as cool. No, it's not. It's sin and degradation. And we're going to live above that. Again, like I said earlier, not because we think we're better. That's not the point. But what is Titus 2? So that we can come up out of that and then read the very next verse. Looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. We want to go to heaven. And we'll close this morning with that point. We want to go to heaven. And in heaven, there's none of that stuff. We got to come up out of that stuff now so that we can go to heaven. Verse 13. And then look at verse 14. So that during this life, we can be a people zealous of good works. That's the only way we can help others, is to come up out of that muck and that mire. How often I've been walking on a trail after a rain or something like that, and I'm looking ahead. I'm going to take that one that goes off a little bit higher. I don't want to trudge through that mud down. You get it on, you can't get it off. I always take that higher one. And you do too. Higher ground is where we can get up out of that. The devil's wanting us to bring us down into that muck and mire with him. He wants us to spend eternity with him. Come on down here in the muck and mire and just stay that way your whole life. No, we're going to say no to that. Higher ground is sitting with Christ in heavenly places. the spiritual realm of where righteousness is. And that's where we want to be. Don't buy into that lie, especially young people, that you're being sold today, that it's cool and fun and okay. It is not. And don't stoop down to that. Number four, higher ground is the place where we can really be the better person. Turn with me to Isaiah 55 and verse 9. We have that expression, to take the high road. What does that mean? What does that mean, take the high road? Isaiah 55 verse 9. Let's look at a very familiar passage, and then I want to ask a question about it. Isaiah 55 verse 9. We have an expression, take the high road. When we live on higher ground each day, we are actually being the person that is the better person, the better character, the more noble character. When we lie, and then we decide, no, I'm going to tell the truth. That's the better person. I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to be honest. That's the better character. I'm going to be sexually pure. That's the better character. And when we're in situations at work and school and other places where people are mistreating us, take the high ground. Take the high road. Be the better person. Anybody can live like the world. Anybody can do what the devil wants. Be the better person. Have thoughts that are higher than that of the world. We talk about that sometimes where, well, I'm not going to engage in revenge. I'm going to take the high road. That's right. Romans 12. They've been saying bad things about me. I'm not going to say bad things about them. I'm going to take the high road. But what makes it the high road? You ever thought about that? What makes it the high road? It is a common expression that we have, but why? Look at Isaiah 55 and verse 9. We're very familiar with this passage. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, I asked the question this morning, why? What is it about God's ways and thoughts that make them higher? Have you ever thought about that with regard to this well-known passage? What makes them higher? Well, let's go back to verse 6 and find out. It's in contrast to lower ways and lower thoughts. Well, what is that? Verse 6, seek ye Jehovah while he may be found. Right up until the last minute, both in the northern kingdom and in the southern kingdom, God is always trying to bring his people back. Seek ye Jehovah while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Look at this. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto Jehovah, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he may be abundantly pardoned. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher, and my thoughts. What is the point? Verse 7, there's the wicked ways and thoughts, and my ways and thoughts are higher. In what sense? It's not wicked, it's righteous. It's the better way to live. There's the wicked ways and thoughts, and then my ways and thoughts are higher. You've got to come up to my ways, the righteous ways. So repent. Come back to God. Taking the high road is not just some cultural expression. It's based upon the Word of God. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, the scripture reading that we had this morning. What is this upward calling? Depending on the version you have, some versions say higher calling, some versions say upward calling. Paul had left behind the life of sin and had come to Christ, and he's pressing on even more. Verse 12, he realizes, I'm not even there yet, and that's the Apostle Paul writing this as an older person. One of the prison epistles, he's still, as an older person, saying, I'm pressing on. That's amazing just in and of itself. But he says, stretching forward, I press on toward the goal and to the prize of the high calling, my version says. Some versions say upward calling. What is that calling? Not just simply, we'll talk about heaven in a minute, not just simply, well, I want to go to heaven, but upward in the sense of a better way to live. So look at just a few verses later. Our citizenship is in heaven. Well, what's that in contrast to verse 19? Whose end is perdition, whose God is the belly, who glory in their shame, who mind earthly things. So you've got these people, verse 19, that are minding earthly things. That's the sin and degradation. Our citizenship is in heaven. I'm going to live better than that. God is calling me up out of sin and for a better life and to be a better person and to take me to heaven. It's called the upward calling in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. It's the place where you can be a better person. Telling the truth makes you a better person. Being honest makes you a better person in all areas of your life. Being sexually pure makes you a better person. And it's the high way. In fact, Isaiah has another passage where he talks about a high way of holiness. A high way of holiness. It's high, it's up, it's above. It elevates, God's word elevates us. It makes us a better person for everyone involved. Let's walk on that higher ground each and every day. We're not going to have the thoughts and the ways of the world that are wicked. We're going to have the higher thoughts and the higher ways of God that make us righteous. And then last of all, higher ground is the place where I need to be setting my goals. I need to be going through life, not with my head down, not with my head buried, but with my head up, always thinking about where Jesus is at the right hand of God. Ephesians 4:10, He ascended high above the heavens. He's at the right hand of God. And my eyes, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, my eyes need to be on Him. I don't need to be looking at the things of this earth. I need to set my mind on the things that are above, Hebrews 3, 1 through 3, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. That's where my mind needs to be, my goal, my aim. And I love that part of the song that we sang. My prayer, my aim is higher ground. Some people are not going to make it to heaven because they're not even aiming for that. Some people are not going to make it to heaven because that's not even their goal. And we try to help others around us get their aim and their goal on the things that are above. Paul did that. And it helps us deal with problems. Look at 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. He talks about physical problems that he was going through, the persecutions and physical problems. But he said, I'm not thinking about the outward man. I'm thinking about the inward man that is renewed day by day. And he goes on into 2 Corinthians 5 and says, I'm going to be given a habitation one day, an eternal body, where I can go and be with Jesus, verse 7, to be at home with Jesus. What did that do for him? Chapter 4, verse 16, it kept him from getting bogged down in all of the ailments and the problems of life. He just kept his mind on heaven, and it'll do the same for us. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. These New Testament Christians, one of their problems was they were leaving Christ and they're falling away. Their direction has gotten turned from the new and living way back to the way of the world, and the writer's trying to call them back. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holy place, that's heaven itself, by the blood of Jesus, we have to be cleansed by His blood in baptism. By the way which He dedicated for us, a new and living way through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in fullness of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and having our body washed with pure water, baptism. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, that it waver not, for He is faithful that promised. We are traveling the new and living way, headed into the holy place of heaven itself. Don't turn around and go some other direction. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13, talking about Abraham and the other patriarchs of old. Hebrews 13:11, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, But having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, for they that say such things make it manifest that they are seeking after a country of their own. Well, which one? Well, we're going to find out in a minute. And if indeed they had been mindful of that country from which they had went out, that earthly country, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, whereof God is not ashamed of them to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Abraham and others, they're not thinking, oh, I want to go back. I just want to be in the world. They weren't mindful of that. Verse 16, their desire is on a better heavenly country. The high ground is taking me all the way to heaven itself. Back up in chapter 11, in verse 10, Abraham and these patriarchs, they were dwelling in tents, they were sojourners, but in contrast to a tent, here's a permanent thing of a city. For he looked for the city which hath the foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's the word for architect. My mind and my goal and my aim is not on the things of this life. I do pass through this life, and there are things that we have to do in this life. But ultimately, my aim and my goal is on that better country and that heavenly city. And in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus in order to get there. And even in the case of Moses, if you look at chapter 11 and verse 26, accounting the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked unto the recompense of reward. Moses was raised in a very wealthy Egyptian environment, but that was nothing to him. He looked for the recompense of reward of leading God's people to the promised land. That's more important than all the riches of Egypt. It was a very rich nation at that time. Brethren, men and women of faith always have their eyes on higher ground. Well, I'm glad that that song is Daniel Mayberry's, one of his favorite songs. It's a great song. And I want us to go out this morning knowing that we can better defeat our enemy if that's where we're standing. And we can get a better view of all of the hard things that we have to deal with in life. We can get a much better view of all those difficult things in life if we'll be on that higher ground. And we know that we can get up out of that muck and mire of sin, and you can begin that this morning by being baptized into Christ. Wash away that mud. When we get mud on us, you want to leave mud on you? Yeah. No, we want to get it off quickly. When I was probably about fifth grade or so, in the summertime, we would go visit my sister who lived in Ohio. She lives in the same house as we were there in the early 70s, same place. Right across the road, she had Amish neighbors. And we would go up there in the summertime, and we wanted to visit my sister. And so Mom and Dad would drop us off for a week or so and come back and pick us up. We wanted to go play with the Amish neighbors. That was cool. They had cows, and they had pigs, and they had barns. And so we'd go over there, and we would play all day in the muck and the manure and the barn and all that kind of stuff. And when we would come back to her house, she'd say, "Nope, you do not come into this house until you clean off." We don't just walk around with mud and manure on us. Get it off of us. It's higher ground. And it's the place where we can be the better person. And we need that so much today. And it's the place where we can set our goals and keep our eyes on heaven and not be distracted by all of the detours that the devil is trying to throw up. But each and every day, you're going to live faithfully and keep your eye on the goal. And if we can help you begin that higher ground this morning, why wouldn't you come as we stand and as we sing?